All right, noting first the handout that you have been given. It consists of two lessons that were shared with me. The first one is page one. It's a lesson that Sister Donna Craig shared, and we're going to discuss it first. The second and third pages, you'll notice, are back in front. So that's a four-page lesson, which actually is not all that was there. There's basically a worksheet or a color sheet that I didn't include that is done on Wednesday nights, but this is a lesson that Sister Hillary Collier shared with me, and it is designed to be taught both on Sunday and Wednesday, and we're going to just make note of it very quickly as well. The final page is very similar to the page that I gave you in order to prepare you for this particular assignment, that is preparing a Bible class. And in fact, I didn't change the title at the top of the page, but you'll notice the column right below it, or the subtitle, is prepare a sermon, and that's what this page does. So I'm sorry that I didn't make that distinction. This is a new handout, different from the one last week, and it gives basically what I'm looking for and what I'm going to ask about with regard to a sermon outline. And if we have a moment at the end of our time together, we'll discuss it in a little bit more detail. But I'm asking you that you follow kind of this particular outline, this particular thing, because these are the things we're going to ask about. And it's a simple way of preparing a sermon outline. And it's something that I would like the women to do as well, if you're willing to do so. And if anyone, just like this last week happened, anyone prepares theirs in time, either take a picture of it and send it to me, or put it, if you've got a file, just attach a file to an email to me, and I will utilize that, as I'm doing today, in preparing the PowerPoint slides so that we'll have something to discuss. Now, if you haven't done that with your Bible class today, what we're going to do is go rapidly through the two examples that we have been given. I have an example as well, but I'm not going to cover that at all unless we have more time toward the end. And I would like to just get some other examples of what you did. Again, what we're basically asking for, you'll see as we get into this particular topic. And I think it's going to be beneficial for us to understand how to go about preparing a class. So the assignment was to choose a topic, present a statement of intent, in other words, what you're trying to accomplish with regard to, I've got those up there, what you're trying to accomplish with the lesson, establish at least three major points with Scripture, and then explain an age-appropriate task, craft, or visual aid for primary and young children's classes that would be used to illustrate your lesson. For the older children and adults, create a list of 3 to 5 questions that you would ask as a part of that lesson. And then if it's an older class, also a discussion question. So let's begin with Donna's lesson, which is the front page. You can either look up at the outline or follow along. She actually basically conformed her class lesson to kind of follow what I was asking for. And so it goes along very, very well in that regard. So the topic that she chose was David and Goliath, which is found in 1 Samuel chapter 17. And her statement of intent with regard to what she is seeking to accomplish with the class, to teach about one man's faith and courage because he knew with the Lord's help the Israelites could defeat the armies of the Philistines. And of course, by application, as stated in Philippians 4, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The same thing is true with us today, and that's of course a lesson to teach the children, that with faith, we can accomplish what God desires for us spiritually as we seek to live for Him. So there is the statement of intent. Let's go ahead and just kind of go through it quickly. Then we can discuss it since you've got the outline there. If you've got any questions or anything you would like to add, any questions about how it was done, any suggestions that you would like to share with the congregation that could be the class that could be make it even more beneficial than what it is. By the way, I wanted to say that we have an awful lot of extremely talented and dedicated ladies in our congregation who are willing to teach those younger kids. And I am really amazed at the good work that they do and how appreciative the parents should be. The children, I think it's obvious, are, and we want to commend them for the work that they are doing. Both of these particular classes that we're noting were prepared specifically to 4 to 6 year olds. But as Donna told me this morning, her initial preparation of this lesson was for 2 and 3 year olds. And it's a lesson that can be easily adapted to older children as well as younger children in that 4 to 6 age group. Continuing on, the three major points that she wanted to establish in the lesson is that we can believe that God is with us as long as we are with Him, which is bolstered by the text in 1 Samuel 17 and verse 45. Like David, and the like David is up there, so like David we can. So here is the application as well as the major points of the lesson, which I like a great deal. David did it, we can do it too. And by the way, when you do that, just as she did with Philippians 4 and verse 13 in the statement of purpose in the lesson, when you establish a truth that was so with the Bible character, there are plenty of passages that are both found in the Old and New Testament to indicate that usually those principles are for all of us, or those are possibilities that all of us have. And it's very good if you can especially go to the New Covenant in the epistles, for example, and look at how we can accomplish the same thing, or the assurances that are given to us as well under the New Covenant to show that parallel. That's a very beneficial thing to do. That's kind of maybe more of a preaching point or for maybe the adult classes. But just like David, we can believe that God is with us as long as we are with Him. Secondly, we can be brave like David when we're faced with trouble. And of course, he was in his facing down Goliath, but he was brave despite it because the Lord, he said, will deliver you into my hands. And then finally, like David, we can remind others who is really in charge of everything. I like that. That's a good and wonderful thing to point out to our children. So that would be appropriate for that age group. And then with regard to that, we talk about the task, crafts, or visual aids that are utilized. And Donna has a number. She has done a lot of work in this area. If any of you as Bible class teachers have questions about where I can go and how I can utilize visual aids or other kinds of aids, Donna would be a good one to talk to in that regard. She has many resources that she has cultivated. Also, the website, you remember at soundteaching.org under the members area, there is a full page with links to online resources that you can use to find things like this. First thing to note is the Abeka Flashcard series. This is on young David, that is dealing with David when he was going against Goliath in the second lesson of this series of cards. We have Abeka cards for a great number of subjects that are found in the resource room. These are large, I don't know if the cards are the fuller size, is that what you're referring to? Okay, so they're rather large illustrations, placards, a heavy-duty construction board with lamination type of a thing that you can use, put on an easel, and as you're telling the story, you go through the pictures, and they do a good job of, I wouldn't say necessarily realistically, but it's not cartoonish. They're very good illustrations of those kinds of things. As always, they're a denominational, so from time to time, there may be something that is wrong, and you may have to take one out that's just not as accurate as it needs to be. But by and large, they're very, very good. I want to tell the teachers that if there is a particular set of Abeka cards that we do not have yet that you would like to have for a quarter of study, if you will, let me know and we'll purchase those because I think it's one of the best resources that we can have in our classes for young children. She has a pop-up book by Agostino Traini on the 23rd Psalm. And so that has reference to the Lord's protection during times of danger that she utilizes in this lesson. Another book called Be Brave, Anna, that can be used. And then a songbook. And she said if there's any miscommunication in the text, the idea of preparing a songbook before the class starts so that the songbook can be utilized in the singing of the song, The Battle Belongs to the Lord, is a song that can be sung with the children. In that regard, Donna actually brought her example of a songbook with her today in a binder. So if you would like to talk with her, any of the ladies after class, and see that, then feel free to do so. The 3 to 5 questions. She had 3 questions, maybe more. Yeah, more than 3 questions. Three that I put up on the board. You'll notice at the bottom of the page there are a number of questions for review. A couple of like that is, who was Goliath, the Philistine giant? Who did David say would deliver him from this Philistine, which is, of course, the Lord? And what weapon did David carry, which would be a sling? So these are kinds of things. These are easy questions in the sense that if you're familiar with the text, you would know the answer to them. But these are the things that are good with regard to building knowledge with regard to the young children especially. And then I love what Donna said with regard to the discussion question. She added that, even though that was primarily for adults. And this is her point. It's been my experience that younger children are perfectly capable of coming up with their own discussion questions. And if you're doing a good job of teaching a class, that's absolutely, without a doubt, the case. Young children are very, very curious. And they have questions on how things can be the way that they are. Just to give you an example, one that Donna shared with me right before class started, with regard to Huxley. Huxley, as they were studying about the temptation of Jesus in the wilderness by Satan, he asked the question, what was Satan thinking when he tempted Jesus with all the kingdoms of the world belonging to him, if they already did belong to him, having reference to the sovereignty of God? Now, that's a pretty deep question that a child would ask, but that's just the kind of curiosity that children have, and sometimes you might find yourself to be challenged in trying to answer the questions that they come up with. But anyway, so questions of children are absolutely wonderful, something that should be encouraged as well, and when they lead to discussion, that's a good thing. So I've gone through those things. Looking at the page, again, we can cover as many as we want, as many as we have time for in the class. If we don't get to any other than the one or two that we've got up on the board, that's fine as well, if you want to discuss these issues any further. Anyone have any questions or anything that would like to add to it? Okay, so keep in mind, again, the effort that is made would be something that, and by the way, again, just to acknowledge what is being done in our number, there have been several ladies in the congregation who have developed curriculum for the various age groups. Patsy is one, and we're following her curriculum with regard to the primary school classes. And then Donna's done a great deal of work with curriculum with regard to the 4 to 6 age group and the primary kids. And we've been utilizing some of those kinds of things. We're also utilizing some of materials that were prepared at Woodmont that we got, basically a basic curriculum that we add things. But the important thing, I think, with regard to teachers is utilize your skills and your efforts with regard to the young people to present a lesson that you're comfortable with presenting so that you can make it your own, and that what is being done typically is the preparation of those kinds of visual aids and the points that will be made and the way in which those will be illustrated. The teachers are doing a lot of stuff on their own. If you feel like it would be more beneficial to the children as you look at a particular lesson, that is, okay, we're going to study about David and Goliath this week, but the things that you get, maybe they don't fit as well with the kids that you have. And so you want to cover perhaps another point or two that are not covered, or not cover a point or two that are covered, and you want to change it or alter it. Just understand the purpose is to edify the children and to encourage the children to love God, to learn from the examples that we find, because typically in the young classes it is the narratives about the people and the characters, and make those proper applications. And feel free to make those small changes. The curriculum is a general idea of an overview of materials so that we don't have gaps in our children's knowledge. But you are the teacher, and you are the one with those children, and you are the one that knows what they're responding to. And just make that your own and utilize those resources and helps that you feel are best as an encouragement to them. I often will, especially with younger teachers or those who don't have as much experience, I'll hear them say, well, what about, do I have to do exactly, I have to we're following this book, for example. Do I have to follow the book exactly? No. I think Josh Jackson talked about that last week. You know, sometimes you come across questions or points that are made by the kids or needs of the kids that will cause you to change it a little bit, and that's good, as long as the truth is taught. All right. Anybody at all before we go on to Hillary's example? Hillary's Bible class. I'm not sure. I think I missed. Yeah, there you go. Thought I got them all, but I didn't. All right. The topic she chose was Jonah. And you'll notice that her class material is something that she has already prepared and such, and as such, it doesn't quite follow the same, but I managed to kind of work it into to the format that we're talking about. But with regard to this, her topic was Jonah. The book of Jonah is, the entire book of Jonah is covered in this, and that's very, very impressive. Of course, when you're talking about that, you can't cover everything in every chapter, but nevertheless, there's a good overview of the book of Jonah that is given by this lesson, again, at the level of 4 to 6-year-olds. And I wanted you to note the procedure she follows in this. She says on Sunday morning, she tells the whole story, and there is a book, and I think that's on the back page of the second page, a small book that is printed up and can be folded and colored on, that helps them remember the basics. And then on Wednesday, the story is repeated. And the thing about this is that what you'll see with little children is that they'll forget a lot what you talked about 3 days ago. Their attention spans are kind of short, and so repetition is something that is good. I know that it's not always possible, but it is a good thing to do. And that's why we do the Bible drills as we do. You know, if we're doing one set of Bible drills a month, in week one, nobody knows the answer. In week four, most of the answers someone knows. And that's a good thing because it's drilling it in their head. So that's a good thing to do. So anyway, on Wednesday, she tells the story again. They may not remember much of it, but more detail can be given and more questions can be asked to elicit that memory or to teach that again. And then there is the tie-in worksheet. So she has both the book on Sunday morning and then a coloring sheet that has if I remember correctly, not only the coloring sheet, but also there is a scripture reference that is given on the sheet as well that gives it some significance. So that's one of the things that they do in the class. You'll notice also that songs are sung when you talk about... Let's talk about three major points that are made in this. Number one, you can't run away from God, which the entire chapter, first chapter, talks about Jonah trying to do just that. The second, that disobedience will make problems in your life. I'm not sure exactly if her intention in that is to talk about the problems that hit Jonah because of his departure from God's will and going the other way and how that caused problems in his life, because it certainly did, complications. But also, God's condemnation of Nineveh was because they had departed from God and they were going to lose their city and be destroyed as a people if it weren't for the fact that they had repented. And then that's the third major point with regard to the changed behavior. And again, that comes with Jonah, who prayed in the belly of the fish, he indicated a change in heart that led to him going and doing what God said to do, but also the city of Nineveh as the king and the people repented and God relented concerning his condemnation. So three good points to be made and applied to us as well and can be applied to the children. And then she also noted that if there is time and she thinks that the children can handle that parallel, there is that parallel that Jesus made on a number of occasions. Matthew 12 is an example of it, of the resurrection on the third day. As Jonah was in the belly of the fish for 3 days, so also the Son of Man will rise on the third day. So that's a parallel that could be drawn in that regard. Looking at the songs and projects, there is that three songs, and the lyrics are given in this particular text, although Justin says that the Jonah song, those are unscriptural lyrics because it says, who did, instead of Jonah, 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 Jonah. Who did swallow Jonah? What? No, is that? No, I know. I was kidding. No. But that's an interesting thing. And I've noticed this as well, that those songs, there are some songs that just about everywhere you go, they sing them, but they're seldom that the lyrics are exactly the same. Sometimes they've been altered. I remember with regard to the Noah song, Debbie and I tried to figure out how to change the words from he built the ark out of hickory bark to he built it good out of gopher wood. So we changed it to make it more accurate to what the text said. But the old song was he built the ark out of hickory bark. Well, you're not really good teaching good lessons about authority if you go with that lyric. So we changed it. He built it good out of gopher wood. So you didn't know that I was a songwriter, or at least a lyricist, but that's what we tried to come up with. But there are different changes that come. So the song, Jesus Loves Me, Oh Be Careful, Little Eyes What You See, and then the song about Jonah are given. She also has a link, and I'm not sure if that link is on the page. If not, I will put it up on the page on the internet on our website. But Bible Fund for Kids. She said you usually can find a good and understandable summary of any particular Bible story or narrative at BibleFundForKids.com. And so that may be a good place to look for the teachers. On Sunday, that small graphic workbook that helps students remember the basics. And then on Wednesday, the tie-in worksheet is given as visual aids to establish those points. Again, remember, we're not trying to do crafts per se, but kids are visual learners. And if you're talking to them while they're drawing or coloring and you're explaining what the picture is about while they're engaging those activities, it's something that helps to establish the truth, establish the stories you're striving to do. So it is indeed beneficial, especially for the young children. Okay, and then that resurrection thing is something that she also mentioned, if there is time and the children have a good understanding of the story. Okay, so then with regard to the observation that Hillary had that I wanted to say is great, she indicated that the first thing that she does when they come into the class, we're studying about Jonah, let's find Jonah in our Bibles. Okay? So the children don't always have Bibles, and she says that's okay. I'm not sure I agree with her, but I understand what she's saying. They don't have it, it's not the end of the world. But it is important for them to see that it's a true story from the Bible. I just had a 85-year-old man tell me, do you really believe that Jonah that a fish swallowed Jonah? And like, how in the world could you believe such a thing? I said, it's really not hard for me to believe that if that same God created the heavens and the earth. You know, the idea that people have today that this isn't real. Well, it is. It is real. It actually happened. No men can't live inside of fish's bellies. That's what he said. You know that men can't live. And I said, no, but a fish that was prepared by God, Jonah certainly could, because God was preparing it in such a way where Jonah could. So, again, it's an important thing to note that these are true stories from the Bible. And so my addendum to her observation is that it's an important thing that children bring Bibles to class. Not only that they had the Bibles to class, but even at that small age of 4 to 6, when they can't read yet, that they learn to appreciate the Bible as a book and to take care of it. Again, those feelings, I know there's nothing sacred about the paper and the ink, and the world's not going to come to end if the child rips a page out because they're a child. But still, if you can instill that respect for God's Word early on, with regard to the Bible itself, then there's going to be more respect for the Bible's words as time progresses. So I think that's a good thing. I'll just give you a very quick thing. Luca's favorite book when he comes to our house is Stuck in the Muck. And it's one that Kathy Huff Jones, a member at Woodmont, actually wrote. She's a good author, and it was illustrated. It's a cute little book about a duck getting stuck in the muck and a big dog getting stuck in the muck, and then Leroy gets the big dog unstuck from the muck. And so there's a lot of stuck-in-the-muck words that you read, and it's cute. And Luca just loves it. And then one day, he tore it completely to shreds. Don't know why, don't understand why. So we had to glue it back together and laminate it so it still works, and then he loves it again. But that one day, for some reason, he just decided he was going to tear it up. And kids can do that. But again, teaching them respect for the Bible is a good thing. And the fact that the Bible is a tool that you utilize and should be present and you should appreciate. So that's what I wanted to add to that. All right, so anybody have any questions about the Jonah lesson or what we're talking about, the kinds of things to apply? Yes, Justin.
Go back.
Well, yeah, you're right, and that is typical, and it is. It has to do with ego and expectations. You know, what they think people expect of them. So it becomes uncomfortable in that regard. I do like and appreciate your making that distinction between the children's classes and the adult classes, and I think with regard to preparation, I remember, you know, that problem with me when I was a kid. I didn't always get my lesson done. You know, if there were assignments or questions that needed to be asked and all, and that really is to a certain extent the bane of just about every teacher, is that there is either an even application with regard to the things that we hope will be done. Perhaps some of the problem is communication with the parents beforehand, because with the young kids it's going to be especially important that the parents be involved somewhat in what they're doing and what is needed. But even, again, junior high and high school times, maybe primary, older primary grades, we have books that are being used, and the books have questions. You know, we have those answered when you come to class, and we can discuss them. But again, that's a problem with adults too. And I know that as a teacher, it becomes evident sometimes to me that as I'm handing out materials and as I'm asking for things, that people don't, a number of individuals in the congregation, they don't do it. They don't do what I ask them to do, and you can't force it in that regard. But it makes it less effective, the teaching less effective, if some work is not done by the student. And so that's something that's helpful to keep in mind as a responsibility for those who are in a class always. Communication with the parents especially would be helpful with regard to the teachers and the young kids. If you want something to be done, something to be read, you can either, I wouldn't suggest necessarily putting a post-it note on a sheet and having the kids give it to the parents. That doesn't work very well, but you know who the parents of your students are, and just go ask them, could you do this before next week? And that kind of thing might be helpful. But those are just some suggestions. I appreciate very much everything Justin had to say. That's the kind of thing that we're wanting here. Okay, so, yes, Deb.
This is kind of the side that's for the young kids, the two classes that are in the grade room.
Mm-hmm.
We have fall cabinets. And each lesson, like Donna's, plans in the file with her lesson plans and things she's done. So if you haven't taught in a while and want to teach, it's the same curriculum.
Yeah, one of the things I want to do in this is to be an encouragement to the younger members or those who have not been in the practice of teaching before, to understand that it's not brain surgery by any means. And again, if you have the ability to babysit kids, because you are an adult, you most probably have more knowledge than the kids about the topic that you're going to teach. And if you're willing to simply take some time in preparation, you'll do a good job in teaching children. It's a challenge, like Justin said, and I don't try it. I've got my excuse. I got to teach the adults, or I like teaching the older kids too. But I've not tried to teach those younger kids, because I remember when I was doing some substitute teaching, the one class I couldn't handle was the kindergarten class. I was okay, especially with regard to the secondary schools when I was substitute teaching, but the very first day I was substitute teaching a kindergarten teacher, and I was completely incapable. I mean, every time I turned around talking to one kid, I turned around, there's 15 standing behind me, and you know, it was kind of rough for me. But so it's difficult, but you can do it. In other words, don't think that I don't know enough or I can't do it because I don't know how to prepare, because you'll have plenty of help in that regard with the lessons, with the lesson plans that have already completed, with the crafts and such that have already been tried, and we've got plenty of ladies who are willing to give you advice and to help you if you struggle a little bit. So if you want to teach, then make the effort. Yes, Justin.
And you also can't underestimate how important a different perspective is.
Right.
Like, yeah, I can teach the high school class, but my kids hear me all the time. Having somebody else in there that they don't, with different life experiences, or that has applied biblical passages in ways that aren't even applicable to my life, would be really helpful. I wanted to
point. And as alongside of that, you did bring something up that I think is worthy of repetition. It used to be that the class was the first thing we did, and there was always a problem with teachers coming in late. So, the teacher's not here yet, the kids are in the class. You don't want, number one, you don't want kids in the class that are unsupervised inside the classroom. That's problematic. Secondly, others are having to cover for you till you get there. That's always a problem with regard to tardiness and such. So that's not quite the issue now, but it is an important thing for the teacher when the bell rings, if you can, make your way to the class as soon as possible so that the class can, so the kids can be supervised. And by the way, you kids, you have to get bathrooms. There's a reason for the 15-minute break, although sometimes it's only 10. Usually when I'm preaching, it ends up being 10. But in regard to those breaks, you use the bathroom, get a drink, whatever you want to, but get the kids in there as soon as you can so the class can start on time. That's an important point. All right, so we also want to make note. Oh, I'm sorry, Josh, you did have your hand up.
Okay, it was just to take Justin's point just a tad further about having those pre-bell discussions, because, like you said, life events pop up in those conversations, and it's great, and it's actually fun and challenging as a teacher to take those stated life events and work them. How does this apply to that?
Yeah.
How does this apply to that?
Yeah.
To make it more real for them, to help them remember something, or something goofy happens in the discussion that you can use to lighten up a point that you're making from the class before. Just ways you can do that. Interacting with your students is
good. Appreciate that. Dennis, your wife told me that you had prepared something. Is it kind of similar where I can ask those questions and have you answer the main thing? Okay. So let's, was it for an adult or what? Okay, so Dennis prepared something for adult class. I'm going to just kind of go through his quickly and see, because I'd like an example of an adult class. If we've got time, then we can go on to anyone else who's had theirs prepared. If you would like, if you have any questions about what you have prepared, is how it's done, is it done well, is there something I could do to change, feel free to give it to me. Either take a picture of it with your phone, send it to me, make a copy, give it to me, or if it's a file, append it to an email, and I'll be glad to help you with it. Or some of the other men, if you think they would do a better job in helping you, feel free to talk to them, because I'm sure they would. Okay, so what is the topic you chose? Say that again.
The faith of Nicodemus.
Okay, the faith of Nicodemus, and what's your intent in the class?
Well, the text in John chapter 3:7 and 19. The introduction says the study of Nicodemus is a short one. He only mentioned these three passages in John's gospel. His presence in the book is important, though, because it shows the progression of faith in a man that likely to become the disciple of Christ.
Okay.
That's the introduction to the Bible.
Okay, so what are the three main points that you're establishing in it?
Each of those three texts, of course, chapter 3, where he comes and the evidently has some faith, because he said, when he tells Jesus, we know you had to come from God to do these things. The second point is, and I call it Nicodemus the fearful, meets Jesus because he comes after dark. And then later on I make the point, even though that's not proof, in chapter 3 that John mentions it twice in the second two texts, there must be a reason why he did that. The second point is Nicodemus continued to defend Jesus in John 7. Apparently, even there seems to be some evidence that he speaks up before Joseph does. So maybe he had a good example for Joseph. And then finally, the third one, Nicodemus the courageous, buries Jesus. And he was there at the crucifixion with Joseph. Joseph is identified as a disciple. Nicodemus never is, but it's not sufficient number of doubtful that he became a disciple.
Yeah.
Joseph. And then I'll make the point that they were at the crucifixion who was not. The disciples were with him for Jesus for 3 years. We're not even there. And then my discussion question is, how do you know Jesus was not talking about amniotic fluid in John 3:5?
Okay, good. Yeah, and may I make a distinction between what I say the questions and a discussion question? A lot of times when you have questions, you'll see them in adult books, and they have limited help. They're of limited help when They are basically fill-in-the-blank answer or ABCD answer to a question, where you look at a verse, you see which fits, and then you give that particular point. So if the question was, did Nicodemus come during the day or at night? Would be, okay, he came at night. So that would be a question. A discussion question is designed to elicit discussion and to try to incorporate these principles in regard to either application or in the case of Dennis in that, in regard to that, how do you know that being born of the water is not referencing amniotic fluid? Is because that's a claim that is made by some who are false teachers on the subject of John 3 and salvation by faith only, and they utilize that argument. So being able to determine through context and discussion what that is going to be beneficial to the people in the class. Yes, Justin?
Does a teacher feel 100% okay with skipping boring, unhelpful questions?
Yeah, yeah, good.
If you have like a follow-on, if you want to discuss why he came at night or something like that, fine, but fill in the blank and stuff like that, it just wastes people's time.
Yeah.
It could be good for kind of getting you to think about topics when you're prepping, but not learning the lesson.
That's a very good point, and it's something to keep in mind from Josh. In his class on Wednesday nights, he had 13 weeks for 13 lessons, couldn't cover everything. He picked and chose what he wanted with regard to those questions and the major points he wanted in the lesson. If you have unlimited time, then you may be more willing to go step by step through a progression of lesson. But if not, then you choose yourself what you think is best, what people need most. Yes, Rick?
Questions are important. Questions, what? Are useful for the age group you're in can be changed.
Sure.
Right? You have to change the questions for the age group. Fill in blank questions are great for the younger group because we're trying to get them to establish what is the context, what it does what people actually say.
Yep.
And then the more discussion questions are for, you know, okay, how does that apply to this? Like, how, you take it from the basic of what does it say, and then you go, well, how does it apply? These are the things that we're trying to get to understand.
Right.
So the questions are absolutely valid and needed for every single age group. You have to tailor them for that.
Yeah, and that's the whole point, is that what you have with fill-in-the-blank lessons or questions or straightforward questions like that is you're testing your knowledge of the material. And that is something that is beneficial. One of the things that I will note, and again, Josh has, and I have talked a lot about this because of his problems that he has as a teacher to high school students, is their difficulty in actually thinking for themselves and reasoning abilities. So they can, if you give them time and such, they can work out the actual facts and do the fill in the blank. They may have to appeal to the material and be looking at the material to do it if they don't have a good grasp of it. But it's a struggle to try to get someone to be able to reason, to draw what the inferences and implications are of that teaching and make that application. One of the things that I've tried to emphasize early in our study on learning how to study the Bible is the importance of that, of having that ability to think for yourself and understand the application and the importance of what is being discussed. And not everyone has a good ability to do that. It is something that is taught. And like I said, Josh said, they're not being taught this by their parents. It's not something that's evident growing up. And one of the things that you'll find with regard to kids who come to church and are in Bible class from a very early age, a lot of times they have a better ability to reason and to have that complex thinking because of the applications that have been made in the Bible classes. And so it's just a matter of structure. The reason why I say discussion questions are best for adults is because adults have that capability to a greater extent. But if it is lacking, it's very, very dangerous. And so if they don't have that ability, they need to cultivate it. Yes, Justin?
Two quick things. One, prep your questions just like you would the other stuff. Like when I'm teaching the high school class, I go through the question list. I definitely want to ask this. I'm not even going to talk about this. If we have time, I'll do this, right? Those three categories. But I have the four main questions I want to make sure we cover. And the other one is control discussion. And this applies at all levels, right? You'll have the talkative kid that wants to be in the class. You might not have noticed, I talk a whole lot in this class. It's okay for the teacher to show.
Not you, somebody else.
I want to hear from someone else.
Gotcha.
Maybe you got 30 seconds of dead silence while someone thinks of an answer.
I got you. I appreciate that. Listen, again, next week, same thing, except for with sermon outlines. Everybody make one. If you get one done early enough, and that means by Friday night or Saturday night even, because I may still be working on my lesson on Saturday night, then send it to me so I can do the same thing I did with Donna and Hillary's, because that is helpful, and I can incorporate it on the PowerPoint. But appreciate very much the good involvement. Sorry about those I didn't get to. If you have questions about what you prepared and want to share them with me, please feel free to do so. Thank you very much.